can we turn in our Bibles this evening to Luke's Gospel? That's Luke's Gospel in chapter 12. Just a few verses that I want to share with you this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, commencing to read at verse 13. And this is what the word of the Lord hath to say. And one of the company said unto him, that's unto the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Ending our reading at verse 21. We trust that the Lord will add, with his own divine stamp of blessing and approval, the public reading of his precious word. Friends, I'm sure you have heard the expression before this evening. It's not how you start out for God that matters, but it's how you finish. This evening I want us to take a look at an individual who by the world's standards was a great success in life. He was a businessman with great business acumen. A sheer professional within the farming community. And I suppose we could say that he was, in essence, a standard bearer for the trade and for the industry that he knew so well. For this evening, we will consider for a short while a farmer that was so successful in life. As he gathered in his crops, that he discovered that his barns were far too small to house his substance. I'm sure we'll be able to see this evening this man of great wealth, of great substance, with great success. But friends, in spite of his outstanding credentials, in spite of his healthy business, and in spite of the testimony that he had amongst the farming community, God called this man a fool. In many ways, it's a tragic story, but it's a narrative nonetheless that is repeated time and time and time again throughout not only this wee province, but throughout our nation and our land. People who are so busy that they have no time for the Lord in their life. The story suggests that he was so conscientious, this farmer, in the well-being of his land and his crops, that alas, he forgot about the well-being of his soul. He is a man that we find in Luke's Gospel in chapter 12 with barns that were full and alas with a soul that was empty and void of God. I wonder, as we sit in Six Mile Cross, does that describe you this evening? Or maybe you're not a farmer, but you're involved in some of the field of employment that has resulted in you being so busy that you've no time for God in your life. Could it be that as you take out your diary and as you complete your weekly and monthly engagements, that there is no window of opportunity for the Lord in your life? Or you may say, but preacher, you really don't understand, and you don't really know how busy I am, the tasks that I have to fulfill, the duties that I have to deliver upon. Well, maybe you're far too busier than the Lord intended you to be. Could God, in his great mercy this evening, be bringing to your soul this message of prioritizing as to where God is in your life? My old pastor, the Reverend Hillis Fleming, always used to coin a phrase, and he used to say, if the Lord isn't Lord of all of your life, then friends, he's not Lord at all in your life. And maybe you've been content, just as this farmer was, to have the Saviour and the things of God on the very periphery of our life and of our affairs. But now the Lord of the second chance, he's bringing this message before you this evening. He's bringing this message before you to set your own house in order and to put things right in your life and to prioritize and let the Lord sit on the throne of your life. Oh, don't be like this fool of a farmer who neglected his soul in favor of his fortune. We will hear this evening how this man was so successful. Friends, he was so organized that his busy schedule found no window or place for God. So let's take a look at this farmer who became God's busy fool. I want you to see, first of all, his plenty. Look what it says in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This farmer's barns were filled to overflowing. He had ploughed at the right time. He had sown in the right season. He had gleaned and he had gathered in his crops when everything was just ripe. And he had returned a bountiful harvest for not only himself, but for his family. When we look at his plenty, we can see that he was an absolute professional in his trade. What this farmer didn't know about farming was not worth knowing. I want you to see not only his plenty, but also his success. I have no doubts that he was the entire envy of the farming community. His peers and his contemporaries within the farming fraternity would have looked upon his fields and upon his crops and said, if ever there was a man of great acclaim, if ever there was a man of great success, if ever there was a man who has the Midas touch, it's this farmer here. So successful was he that he had an abundance that was far too much for his barns. Not only do we see his success, but we also see the satisfaction of this farmer. I'm sure that as he looked upon his crops, as he went out and he surveyed all that he was to gather in, I'm sure that his heart and soul was thrilled and was delighted. When it came to the harvest time, to the gathering in, and his fields, above and beyond all the rest of the farming community, his fields were the fields of activity. They were a hive of activity. As week by week he would bring in additional support and additional assistance. This farmer was successful. He was satisfied. I believe that we could say that he had a tremendous status within the neighborhood in which he resided. He would have been the talk and the envy of the countryside. Friends, he knew his trade through and through. And even his envious colleagues would have to concede that he knew the business inside out. And his status and his standing and his position within the farming community, it was elevated as a result. But friends, I don't just want you to see his plenty. I want you to see this farmer's play. For in spite of all his success and in spite of all his satisfaction and in spite of his status in life, this farmer faced a great dilemma. Can you see his play in verse 17? He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room. Oh, note the concern there. What shall I do? Here was a man who now discovered that he had a real problem in life. The crops that he had gathered had surpassed all of his expectations. He had gathered in an extraordinary crop this year upon his grounds. And he now comes to the conclusion, what should I do? We didn't think for a moment to thank the God of heaven for giving him a bountiful crop. He didn't think for a moment to rejoice in the opportunity that he would afford to others to come and to work for him. But instead, he afflicts himself with this thought: what shall I do? What shall I do? There was not a word about what God has done. There was no praise for the God of glory. There was no worship or adoration or sacrifice. But what would the farmer now do? Because his barns were full. I'm sure you've been there, friends, in bygone days, when perhaps a dilemma or a problem or a crisis has come into your life, and you hardly know where to turn or what to do. Perhaps your circumstances would have been far different from this foolish farmer. But maybe there have been times when you too have faced real problems, real issues, real dilemmas in your life. Some may have turned to family and friends. But you know, oftentimes we leave it to a last resort before we turn to the Lord of glory. Could it be, as you meet with us this evening, that you're asking this question, but it has nothing to do with the gathering in of crops? Maybe you have a physical problem this evening. Nobody else knows about it. No one else in the fellowship knows of your failing health. But the God of heaven knows. And you find yourself asking yourself time and time this same question: what shall I do? May even be a financial problem. Things have got difficult in recent days. The burden of finance is laying heavy upon us. You just don't know where to turn or what to do. Could be a domestic problem, an issue in the home, a marital issue between a man and his wife. And again, you have tried as best you can to row your own bark. But now you've got to the stage where you ask the question, what can I do? Maybe it's a spiritual problem that you know in your heart of hearts that you're not right with God. And you know what you should do, but you find yourself asking the question, what shall I do? Well, I want to assure you this evening that there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother, and his name is Jesus. Whatever your problem, whatever your dilemma, whatever the issue is in your life, standing somewhere in the shadows, you know, you'll find Jesus. The hymn writer said that he's our friend who always cares and understands. And standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him. And friends, you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. He's the great burden bearer. And he beckons unto you and I this evening that we should come and we should cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Oh yes, this farmer, he could cut the crop. He could gather the grain. Yes, he could haul in the harvest. But where would the harvest be stored? We can see his plenty. We can see his plea, what shall I do? Friends, we can see his problem this evening. Look what it says in verse 17. What shall I do? Because I have no room. Friends, if we fail to prepare, then we must be prepared to fail in these lives of ours. This was a real problem that the farmer had. He was so busy sowing and reaping and watering and gathering in the harvest that he failed in the field of preparation. He failed in the field of preparing. He simply didn't think ahead as to the problems that one day he would have to face up to in life. And that's like so many of us in this world today. We're so busy that we are too busy for God. You think about it for a moment. We have in our day and age supersonic planes that can fly at incredible speeds. We have high-powered cars that can get us from A to B quicker than ever before. We have the internet, and in seconds we can send a letter to the other side of the world in seconds. And we even have moving staircases to preserve energy. And yet in the midst of so many time-saving devices, we have never spent so little time with the Lord ourselves. Friends, we are in the day of preparation. But have you been considering the eternal well-being of your soul? Have you made preparation for that day when you will come and stand before the judgment throne and have to give an account of all the deeds done in the flesh? Because there's one thing for sure, friends, and it's this, that your decision in this life will determine your destiny in the life hereafter. And so it beckons the question, where will you spend eternity? I want you to read with me all the times that this farmer, he refers to himself with the word I. Look what it says in verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherein to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And so he comes to a conclusion. I'm going to commence a building program. First of all, I'm going to demolish all that I have, all my barns, they're going to go. And then I'm going to reestablish, and I'm going to build greater barns wherein to store my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Friends, little did this farmer know that he wouldn't see midnight. Oh, he had his plans. He had his programs. He had prospects. But little did he know that that was the last time he would ever be able to think along these lines. His appointment with deity was about to be realized. He only had moments to live. Friends, in the midst of all his plans, and in the midst of sowing and watering and reaping and harvesting, this man had more interest in his bank book than he did in his Bible. And this man had more interest in his body than he had interest in his soul. And he had more interest in time than he had interest in God's eternity. Friends, one day, you're going to hear your last gospel message. And friends, this might be it this evening. One day you will listen to the very last sermon this side of eternity. One day you will have eaten your very last meal, and it could already be digesting now. One day you will be exposed for the very last time to the life-changing message of the gospel. Friends, the day is coming when both you and I will close our eyes for that very last time, and we'll take our very last breath. But what then? How will it be for your soul? Will God say, after you have lived a life under the banner of religion, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee"? It's a very thought-provoking comment to consider this evening. Do you know, many years ago, and I suppose you know of this game that we used to play way back in Liverpool, when we were just children, we used to play a game called hide and seek. And somebody would be man, and he'd have to go on the den, and he'd close his eyes, and he'd start at 20, and he'd count down 20, 19, 18, 17. And all the children from the area, they would all run in different directions, and they would hide. And when he counted down and he got to one, he'd turn round and he'd say, "I'm coming. Ready or not." Do you know, the clock of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ is counting down this evening. Friends, we have never ever been nearer the Lord's return than we are right now. And one day he's coming, whether you're ready or whether you're not. For this farmer, he wasn't ready. In spite of the opportunities that he had been afforded in life, he had failed to prepare for his soul. But we live in God-blessed Ulster, don't we? And we read the scriptures and are exposed to the scriptures, and the scriptures say, prepare to meet thy God. I wondered if we made due and adequate preparation for that time when we will stand in the King's presence. For that time when we will have to give an account of all that we have done in relation to the things of God. He's coming, and he's coming whether we're ready or whether we're not.